Welcome to the Vibrant Living Network. Have you ever wondered what is possible beyond possible? What is the thing you've been wondering and inquiring about? Are you just feeling stuck and don't know why? Are you thinking or are you seeing? Seeing allows us to expand and have this other experience. We want to invite you for that wake-up call. We want to invite your spirit, your soul, so to be more alive, more connected. Glenn Brooks has been a life coach for over 33 years, author of Divorced to Patterns, Not Each Other, an explorer of what is possible. He has worked with people all around the world. Join us for a wake-up conversation, a dialogue with you. We will have some of the most interesting contributors. We will be talking to some of the most interesting people and have some of the most resourceful teachers, wisdom-filled people from around the world join us. Share your voice, ask the questions, become free of the known into a new world of possibility. We are going to talk about all the things you wonder about: how to live, how to heal, how to connect, how to love, how to be seen. Your life is precious. Enjoy it.
Hello, I'm Glenn Brooks. Welcome to the Vibrant Living Network. It's an honor being with you today. And we're broadcasting from a beautiful Asian restaurant here in Amherst, Massachusetts. I'm sitting with Hillary Lake. I love your last name.
Thank you.
It's an easy, beautiful last name. Hillary's going to be our contributor, maybe regularly. And I want to acknowledge Lisa Laro as my wonderful producer and close family member for 18 years being with us, and just a tremendous resource and a caring, very caring human being. She's with us here. Thank you, Lisa.
Oh, thank you, Glenn.
You're welcome. I'm going to let Hillary say the name of the restaurant because I think she'll say it better than me. We are broadcasting live from
Chuan Jiao.
One more time.
Chuan Jiao. Yeah.
A master of the Asian language and martial arts, obviously.
just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Okay. All right. I want to introduce Hillary, Lisa. I call this the blinking phenomena. And the blinking phenomena in my life means that I blink and I get a deep sense of people. It's almost instant. It's not a linear thing. And I first met Hillary when I put together Unscripted Power. And back whenever that was, a couple of years ago, I didn't have a strong take on Hillary. I was maybe a little conflict even. And funny enough, I saw Hillary about 4 weeks ago at an art opening, and I got a totally different blink. And I realize it's kind of appropriate to say this because our ability to see our partner and not script them and experience them as being unscripted is a profound thing. Now, let me say what I mean by scripted. So everyone around you has a script. They have something they do. It might bother you. It might activate you. When you're in relationship, what I call unscripted love is the ability to see that person beyond the script, see the wonder of them, the beauty of them, so that when they see you, there's a light that goes off relationally. And I was talking to Lisa. By the way, welcome.
Thank you.
Wonderful having you here.
It's great to be here.
I was talking to Lisa yesterday about this notion of the relational dark night of the soul. And what I mean by that, a lot of us have I know when I was growing up, I got curious about things. Some people called it a kundalini awakening. Some people called it a crisis, upset. Some people would just say they were in a life disrupting challenge. And the way I learned it early on, it was a very solo thing, a very me thing. Now, when I had what I call my relational awakening about 8 years ago, I started to appreciate that the poison in our relationship, seen in a different light, is the doorway to a new love and a new connection, which I've been discussing with Hillary as well, Lisa. And just in this past 3 months, and I want to acknowledge Lisa, because I want to say when we get together the people who don't script us, and listen to us, something different happens in the exchange. And I deeply appreciate that. Lisa's never said to me, "You're this script." She's just constantly showed up again and again and again, past the circumstance, past the interpretation, I love her for that. How could I not? So I love you, Lisa. I appreciate you being here very much, and I appreciate your invisible and visible influence in my life. So Menla, I want to acknowledge Menla. Menla is the Buddhist retreat center in the Catskills, developed a really close connection with Nate Hughes, who says to me they're very excited to host our program, Divorce the Patterns, Not Each Other. I think I just want to invite you to say something, Hillary, and because I'm so honored to meet you, and I want to say the way that I felt I met you has been an unscripted thing. It's been a wondrous thing. Why don't you share something? Go ahead. I want to.
Well, thank you, Glenn. I'm really great. It's great to hear your experience of me initially and to move through that together. I was in a script at that time, and now I'm not living that script. I was running this retreat center that Glenn was staying at, and I was having to take care of so many things and stay focused and had a lot of ideas about what that meant. And I decided to leave about 2 years ago, and a lot of the learning that I had there was relational. And it's a retreat center that is next to a dance and artist residency retreat center, and there's a lot of embodiment practices and shamanic practices and tantra that happens there. And I learned how to be there in many ways and how to grow out of there, and that was through these relationships. And so meeting you again and feeling a different connection and seeing you differently gave me a greater sense of the transformation I've been experiencing and went through over these last 2 years. And so part of my journey and the work that I do is about constantly being in this opening process and feeling, okay, there's a story here. I remember that. I acknowledge this from the past. And then opening beyond that into a deeper relationality and a deeper connection with this person, with my relationship to the earth, possibly, if that person isn't necessarily available, and or a relationship with an infinite source. And that could be sky, something we were talking about earlier today as well. And so as we're talking, I'm clarifying some of my work and languaging, and also how I want to share the work that I do, because every time I meet a client, it's new. And each context is an opportunity for learning how to be who I am and share what I'm doing. And I'm learning maybe as much as my clients are, if not more, in each encounter that I have. And when I'm leading groups, the same thing. I'm learning from every single person who's in the room with me, in the space with me.
It's so funny, Lisa. I realize I don't have another headset for Hillary. one of the technical dilemmas that you being here would have been solved instantly, by the way, because you are so awake to things like that. So thank you for that, by the way. So Lisa, what would you? So here's the thing. Chronologically, we've been around each other. You flew here about 18 years ago. We designed a show for you in Santa Cruz. We've been around each other. I went through this relational tsunami in close proximity to you, and I sort of love sharing this journey with you. And here you are. What's been your experience? What do you want to share with people? Anything that bubbles?
You know, as Hillary was speaking, I've been listening to an audio book, and it's entitled Unchartered. And, you know, the author, Colette Baron Reed, speaks about, you know, we sort of are given a map. You know, you're given a map to the city. You're given a map, you know, that navigates you through all different kinds of things. Even the internet is mapped out, you know, through invisible webs that we can't see. But for our life, you know, we really don't have a map. We don't know whether if we go down X road, you know, the people that we're going to encounter, or, you know, if we, you know, jump on a train and get off at this stop, you know, the things that we're going to discover. But one of the things that I really enjoyed about this book is she said there are really no mistakes, that no matter where you are, no matter what the appearances look like, everything is exactly as it should be for your teachings and your learnings and the things that you came here to discover to get you to where you need to be. And so when Hillary was speaking about that and the things that, you know, the relational challenges that she encountered, obviously she wouldn't be the person that she is and share the wisdom that she's gleaned from those relationships, as have you, Glenn. I mean, I think that's, you know, the beauty of the challenges that you encountered are that you're developing programs to assist and facilitate other people through this journey. And, you know, I really applaud you for that. So, you know, thank you for the work that you do, because I know it hasn't been always very easy, you know, and that's, you know, that was sort of the point in the book too, that these challenges or these, you know, roads, you know, stops along the road that we take may be pleasant, they may not be, but they're always interesting, and we can always learn from them.
Mm. Yeah, thank you, Lisa. It's nice to hear your voice. We're here sharing the headphones. That's quite an intimate experience. And I appreciate hearing your perspective and a sense of your knowing of Glenn and the history that you had together. And for me, I'm opening as this relationship with Glenn develops, and he's inviting me into doing some work with him. And you know, there's these thoughts that come up for me too of like, well, what is really going on here? You know, what is he really offering? And like these kind of doubts and concerns. And I've worked really hard to try and build my practice, and it's been a struggle a lot of the time. But I'm meeting people all the time, and I'm having these new collaborations open up and possibilities, and it's this question of, okay, where do I go next? What do I follow? Like, what feels most alive is the question that I'm asking myself and that I'm following. And we've had a lot of very alive conversations that have invited a lot of insight into the moment and into my relationship, both in the past and in the present. So my understanding of my relationships in the past is shifting in the present moment, and I'm able to show up for my current relationships with more clarity and openness and creativity as well. And that's the sign of a really beautiful connection and what's possible beyond, you said.
Yes, what's possible, beyond, possible, not possible.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. No, without a doubt. So, Hillary, with your clients that you take on, and I apologize because I'm not familiar with what it is you do. If you might want to, if you can share a little bit about that, that would.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I'd love to. Yeah, I do a practice I call Moving in Grace, and my work evolves out of my own personal practice, which is a meditation into movement experience, a lot like a journey or even a shamanic journey, but with movement and sounding as the way in which we're engaging with each other in the space in our journeys, not just in our own individual experience. And I developed this through being in divinity school studying Buddhist ministry and realized I was not interested in the traditional forms of ministry. I wanted to dance and sing and meditate and do yoga, and I had really no interest in doing traditional Dharma talks necessarily, or I was actually studying to be a Unitarian Universalist minister or being an administrator standing in front of a church preaching. And it's not that I haven't done that or I haven't followed that path at all. It's just I needed to have this creative part of me or parts of me have space and voice and expression, and for the awakening and the alivening that's happening within me to be a part of how I'm supporting other people as well. And that can be a scary thing within a more traditional religious context. So I dealt with a lot of terror, and in my journey, it ended up bringing me to this dance and artist residency retreat center called Earth Dance and learning a lot about somatics. And I studied with a local somatic teacher in here, and I'm a somatic movement educator and therapist now. And so I have been merging my Buddhism.
A lot of people don't know what a somatic educator is. Share with them. Some people haven't heard that term before.
Sure. So somatics is simply of the body. And we can think, okay, well, I'm in a body, and when I'm talking from this body. And while that's absolutely true, there's other layers of deepening into experience in the body and allowing that experience to speak, and to trust that my mental understanding or the story that I've told myself, because that's what feels comfortable and safe, can get in the way of the truth in the moment coming through from feeling, from sensation. So
actually, we're going to take a momentary break.
Yeah, okay.
I just want to say, I love what you're sharing, by the way. Very beautiful.
Yeah.
So what I learned about you is there's a new book out, Dark Horses, from this guy at Harvard. So you're a dark horse.
Okay.
I'm a dark horse. So what kind of happened in my life when I had this awakening, I realized there's something called being a relational dark horse, because sometimes based on our traumas and our challenges, we get so caught up in the fact that, oh my God, I could get through this thing. And sometimes it makes us narrow about being other people.
Mm.
You know, I want to say, you know, Lisa caught me at the most wondrous physical moment of my life. Lisa, you remember this moment? We only got like 20 seconds to go. You remember, you remember that moment, Lisa?
When you were hooping?
When I was hooping, I got three hoops going at the same time at Pulaski Park, and Lisa was, she's such a wonder. She came over and took a picture. So for a while, I just posted that picture of myself without any writing at all. Just from that picture, Lisa, I got so much response, and I was just telling Hillary that I feel so blessed that you made me my new relational logo that I want to share with people. So we got to give people, I wanted people to see this because it's so beautiful. I wanted you to give them some way to see this today. I think the music's going to come on. Is it coming on now?
It's on.
Okay, we're going to continue. But Hillary Lake and my beloved Lisa LaRose, one wisdom girl in one moment.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras, a new double album of guided meditations to transform your life, a sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com, M-E-T-T-A, mindfulnessmusic.com.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket, a tent, a sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
In the wake of a hurricane, your monetary donation can make a huge difference to those in need. To donate, visit supporthurricanerelief.org. That's supporthurricanerelief.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
I've really been turned on. I stay all kinds of hotels. if I sing a song for being here. Oh, wait. Did the show come back on and I totally spaced out, Lisa?
That's okay. Happened? We heard you talk about all kinds of wonderful things, Glenn, so we'd like
Thank
to
you.
Hear
Thank
a little
you.
Bit
Thank
more
you.
About that.
Well, I was just telling Hillary. I want Hillary to say the name of the restaurant that we're broadcasting live from, because she says it so well.
Chuan Jiao.
One more time.
Chuan Jiao. And Chuan is a state in China, and Jiao is the panda. And that's where pandas live in China.
Aww.
So we're gonna post, yeah, Lisa said, we're going to post pictures so you can see us here together at the restaurant. And, yes, I was talking to Hillary about living this unusual life where I became sort of known as the man who gets paid to go on vacation and what that sort of meant. And what it meant was really unusual things. Like, as an example, Jim O'Sullivan, the former president of Mercedes-Benz Club, invited me to have a column. And I said, Jim, more than the cars, I'm interested how people could run and live longer and live on this royal road. And he says, Glenn, why don't you and Donna write a column? And so I guess the thing that impacted me there was the quote of Mark Twain. And he said that true success is turning one's vocation into one's vacation, Lisa. So that's kind of what I was just talking to Hillary about, just having this life where I want to meet people and have deep, meaningful interaction with them, this relational awakening. I think at this moment I'm going to have Hillary read something that came to me about 1 a.m. after about 2 or 3 years of constant pain. I had a separation, or what I call a relational tsunami. Things fell apart for a while with my most beautiful woman in the world, Donna. And I wrote this about 1 a.m. I asked a friend of mine who was at my house to just listen to it. So this is an unedited piece that I've asked Hillary to read for the first time. Yes?
Divorce the pattern, not each other. You are contemplating the freedom that you think divorce is going to bring you. See, listen, and notice again. RKSDailyApple.com.
You improv that, didn't you?
Sure. I'm reading everything that's on here.
I'm kidding you.
When you do the inner work, there is no need for divorce. The love and caring that brought you together is still there. To discover vision alignment together allows you to remove the poison that you perceive in your partner right now. You cannot solve your relational problems through divorce or disconnection. The energy around divorce is a state of non-forgiveness, resentment, contempt, and a pattern that we all have in us at certain stages of relationships. You need to divorce the pattern, not each other. Divorcing the pattern allows you to not just stay married, but to move into a deep, caring love that amplifies the quality of your entire life. Imagine reawakening, not just to your mate, but to the aliveness in every relationship. Imagine reconnecting with the commitment you are inspired to make at the beginning of your marriage. Most therapists, friends, and family members encourage divorce. Though well-meaning, they hold unquestioned cultural assumptions and actually set you up to fail. This course sets you up for a new level of intimacy and love you didn't even know existed. During my own relationship explosion, I felt that the most beloved person I knew and treasured had betrayed me. This left me in a state of inner death. The day I got my divorce papers, I felt pain like I never had before. For the next 14 nights, I received a series of visions and dreams of the holiness of marriage. I saw that we go through stages in marriage and leave during some of these stages. I saw that the relational pain is a gateway to a truly miraculous marriage. The miracle of the situation is that I had a change of perception. I started to see the pattern I was living from was the very thing that my partner was running from. I had an awakening. Desperation became a sense of sadness. Eventually, the sadness gave way to a great sense of both peace and mission. My mission is to work with people who don't want to just stop the divorce, but to discover the power of coming together in relational presence that allows both to come alive and experience life, love, and honor at unimagined level. With this mission, I received confirmation from marriage healers and teachers from around. Part of the dilemma we face is that our...
when I'm saying the dilemma that we face, and Lisa, I'm ready to get your wonderful input. The dilemma we face is we have a lot of me-oriented education, and we have a lot of education on the individual. I think that's what I'm saying.
Just got a little mixed up there. Yeah.
Okay.
So the purpose of stopping your divorce at the speed of trust is not to give you more intellectual information. It's not therapy. It's truly relational soul work. Its purpose is for you to know at the level of your soul that this person you're judging, protecting, and dividing from holds the very blessings for you to go to incredible new levels of love and caring. The idea of divorcing becomes irrelevant. What becomes relevant is a revelation of a new life with this person and a radical experience of connecting and loving. You do so by using whatever blocks come up to get closer. A large number of professionals, including lawyers, doctors, and therapists, have been moved by my experience of relational awakening. They share my view that the current construction of marriage in our culture has implications in every area of our life, including our children, extended families, associates, and communities. The first thing I want to bring to you is to help you get out of a state of shock, pain, strain, and overwhelm that your relationship is bringing you. This course is about putting you in touch with a new level of freedom and shared power that is available to you together. This material is really about a journey of souls together. This course is not just about your marriage. It's about bringing you to a whole new way of life in the miraculous. And this is not about religion. This blessing is available to every creed and culture. Consider choosing again the freedom and love you think is no longer there. At the same time, this will be a new blessing for your whole family. My marriage was poisoning me until I met Glenn. Now my marriage has been transformed into a real, loving, passionate partnership for both of us. Glenn truly is a marriage medicine man.
Thank you.
Beautiful quote.
Very good. I just want to... first of all, say that I'm first. Thank you, Hillary. I love hearing your voice. I love that Lisa was listening to it. Lisa, I want to ask you something. I just want to acknowledge the people. I'm going to be teaching this in June at Menla in the Catskills. And Lisa, on my birthday, and I said this to Hillary because it's still. You ever get a gift and the gift keeps getting deeper and deeper and deeper?
Mm.
On my birthday, among the miraculous of speaking to Lisa and my son Michael. Lisa, who's a brilliant graphic artist, she made me the logo for Divorce of Patterns Not Each Other, which is a relational phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to her, Lisa, I have this relational phoenix that I had no idea. And it just has melted me down and melted me down and melted me down and continues to Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be at Menla. Go ahead, Lisa. Go ahead, share.
No, you're welcome. It was an honor to be able to design that for you, and I know that the phoenix and the transformation is a very poignant and important part of the whole process for you. And as a dark horse, as you so eloquently have claimed that, Glenn, for you, maybe you could delve a little bit into, as a dark horse, what does the phoenix and transformation really, really mean to you?
Oh, is that, I'm sorry, me and Hillary.
That was your question.
Did you ask me what it means to be a dark horse, did you?
I said, what for you as a dark horse, what does the relational phoenix mean to you in regards to transformation?
Such a beautiful question.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm asking it almost every moment I exhale. It's true. So what it means to me, thank you, Hillary. What it means to me is that, deep inquiries have no finite answers. What it means to me is that to be inclusive in my dark horseness, and I'll be specific, I was going through a passage, a very intense passage of severe anxiety, which I thought I was dying. And I was so caught up in that anxiety and seeing people, and I didn't realize at the time how it was impacting Donna. I had a meeting one night with a therapist up in Vermont, and he said to me, he says, Glenn, you know, what do you think's happening in your relationship? And I, in that moment, I had like my eyes opened, and I realized that a lot of time we're in a journey, we focus on our own heart and our own soul. And for a moment, I realized that Donna was in this journey with me, and I needed to, and I wrote her this. What I wrote to her was, I'm deeply sorry. I put my pain in front of your pain. And I'd like to do it again because I'm more awake. So I guess what it meant to me being a dark horse was, my phase one of being a dark horse was, the world is terribly asleep. And the only way I could deal with it is to find a different language, different ways. But I didn't see the impact on my family. I didn't see the impact. Like for me, I didn't like the idea of owning a house. There's certain things I did as a dark horse. And I realized when I had this awakening, I realized it needs to be inclusive. I needed to appreciate their styles and find their heart and my heart. And so, you know, I feel like the honor, as an example, sitting with Hillary, I feel like now I could, like when I went through the tsunami, the big gift was I could read people and tune into them and feel them in my heart almost instantly. So I guess what it was is just, you know, I guess the thing about awakening is it looks a certain way, and then you think, this is it. I remind myself every day, this isn't it. Mm-hmm. And I also appreciate that, I mean, dealing with some of the paradox of my life was so challenging. And reminding myself, well, it's just one more identity. Dr. Bob, one of my teachers, he says, we have many, many eyes, but don't get caught in them. See them. So the sweetness of your question is deep, and I want to keep exploring it with you and Hillary. I guess that's the best response.
Yeah. Now, Hillary, let me ask you, and in hearing Glenn's words, does some of that relate to your journey? Can you relate to what mm-hmm. he's saying as far as your experiences?
Definitely. Yeah, I'm obviously in a different life stage than Glenn. I can tell you I'm in my 30s, and I've never been married, and that's been a conscious choice, obviously. Part of me has been interested in marriage, and yet I haven't found someone to commit to in that way because I've been going through these very large awakening experiences, and I would say for about 14 years now. And every time I think, oh, here I am, I've arrived, then I have another big experience. And I called it in myself, I would say, as a child. I was really interested in experiencing transformation, as much as I can tell you, and a connecting to spirit. I always was very interested in God. So as I progressed as a person and evolved and woke up, I found that concept of God continued to evolve, and I began to see and experience God, our spirit, in more and more people and beings and environments and experiences, and realized, oh, of course, this is not a thing that's separate from me or other people. And even though that was an awareness, the experience of it needed to deepen through relationality and through embodiment. And those experiences came in all sorts, from intimate partners, from friendships, from writing a paper, sitting with a tree, dancing around a fire, you know, and helped me to expand my conceptions of love and conceptions of God and the divine and spirit and conceptions of myself. And I had some beautiful teachers and guides who emerged as people and as animals and as places and voices even. And yet at the same time, I realized, oh, I'm just seeing more of myself. The more perspective, and not that I was merged with all of these elements, that they were offering me new insight that wasn't separate from what I already knew. So it was awakening something within me that I already had.
That's really beautiful.
Hillary's in her beautiful voice. She's going to acknowledge that maybe, we're sitting at a beautiful Asian restaurant in downtown Amherst. We're sharing a meal here. We're going to take pictures, Lisa, of this wonderful place we're sharing, because we're going to do live remotes at more places and share the vibrancy of places. So Hillary's going to name the place. We're going to have pictures of really Hillary with our lunch here. What's the name of this wonderful place?
Chuan Zhao.
Want to spell it?
Chuan Gaio. Yeah.
Do they have a website?
And it's Amherst, and it's beautiful environment, beautiful paintings and lighting, and they're very amenable to the needs here. If you have gluten-free needs or you're vegetarian, they can create what it is that you want and need.
MSG-free.
Delicious, yeah.
So what do we get? You hear the music yet, Hillary? Or no music?
No music.
Not yet.
Not yet.
No music. Actually,
so,
I had a quick question.
I want Lisa. Lisa, I gotta hear Lisa's voice. What's Lisa saying? Go ahead, Lisa.
Actually, I was gonna ask Hillary for the listeners.
Do me a favor. You know what I was gonna say, Lisa? We're gonna break in about 30 seconds. So why don't you ask her when we come back? Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine. Go ahead.
Okay, okay. So all I wanted to say then was. Boy, I appreciate you guys so much. I love you guys. I love your notes. I love your feedback. All of you throughout the country and the world. Vibrant Living airs on the Om Times Radio. We have our own network called the Vibrant Living Network. And if you're interested in being a speaker and you're interested in speaking at one of our events, I want to say we're one of those beautiful theaters in New York we're negotiating with right now. So if it's in your heart to speak people and meaningful connect with people with your message that's deep in you, and being on other people. That's what this is about. It's about being a speaker and sharing your meaningful work in a way that you could prosper and soar. And that's how I met Lisa. And continue to meet Lisa. Stay with us. Your life is precious. Enjoy it. And then we get to Lisa's question of Hillary when we continue. I'm Glenn Brooks. Thanks for listening.
Your soul with waves of consciousness on Om Times Radio.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Hi, this is New Age Grammy winner Paul Avgerinos. Thanks for listening to Om Times Radio, and please support my peaceful healing music with a purchase at iTunes, Amazon, or wherever you shop for fine music. Just put my name into the search engine, Paul Avgerinos, A, V like Victor, G like George, E-R-I-N-O-S. You can also visit me at roundskymusic.com. Thanks for listening, and I'm wishing you the brightest of blessings.
Melissa from Michigan. I work an extra part-time job serving lunch at my child's school, but I still can't afford to put food on our table.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
There you go. Hey, are you still welcome? Okay, tell me. I'll welcome us back. Come on. I like that. No?
No.
Oh, no.
Glenn, you're on.
Oh, no.
Glenn, you're on.
Wow, no, I'm running Hillary. Hillary and Lisa. It's the Hillary and Lisa One Wisdom moment. Go ahead, Lisa. You're listening to Vibrant Living Network with Lisa One Wisdom. Here we go, Lisa. With Hillary.
So, Hillary, for the listeners that may not have experienced an awakening, could you just share maybe one of your, where you said that you saw the divinity in somebody, mm-hmm. one of your favorite stories of somebody that you met where that really touched your heart and moved you, and you know, just to share that experience for somebody who may not have had that opportunity in life.
Sure, absolutely. I would say one of the more powerful experiences, which was unique in terms of context, because I was living in Thailand at the time, and I was studying sustainable development. And the family that I grew up in, while very present in their availability and very loyal and very dependable, and I was taken care of in many ways, wasn't the most loving family. And so when I was living in Thailand and I ended up living with these indigenous people called the Bakan Yaws, their name, or some people know them as the Karen people up in the hill tribes, I had these experiences of seeing these women who were caring for their children and caring for the family and caring for us as students living with them for a few days at a time. And then we would move from one village to the next. And it was like I was meeting my mother every time. And especially one of these women, she just opened her full heart and being with me like I was her sister. And I don't have sisters. I'm an only child. And I completely felt like her kin. And she would sit with us at night and ask us, what are you doing? And would kind of like snuggle with us and with the baby, and we're next to the fire. And it was this like, what's happening to me? I feel like I'm experiencing life in a very new way, and that I didn't know how to integrate into my understanding very well, except to exoticize it in a way, and to say, I want more of that in my life. And so that was very tricky coming back home to undergrad and having to finish a year of school and to figure out how do I bring that experience of mother and kin and love into my life.
Wow, that's beautiful. I would love to travel there. I mean, you brought the experience to life for me, and I'm sure Glenn feels the same way, you know, to be brought into a family environment like that and to be nurtured and to be held. And I think that's, you know, part of what Glenn does in his workshops. You know, he teaches people, mm-hmm. you know, to really see one another and to move in different ways that they never thought possible, and that sort of, you know, to be able to connect with somebody so special is really a gift.
Yeah,
I can hear me. What?
He can. He heard most of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Did you want me to comment on what Hillary said?
What were you going to say?
Oh, I just wanted to say that I'm very curious to experience what Glenn does, and just being around him a couple of days now and having conversations, I get the sense of what he's doing, and we've had some similar workshop experiences with similar communities. So I'm very curious to hear more myself about what will happen at these workshops.
Mm-hmm. Deeply appreciate the questions. I said to someone, it annoyed them greatly. I said, well, it's not the answers in some ways, it's the questions, and then really dropping into the questions. You know, Lisa, I mean, I think one of the most wondrous, profound things is the people, because I love sharing them with you. I was just telling Hillary that some people came to see me from around the country at one point, and I guess you could just say this thing called trust. Where does it start, and how to cultivate it, and how do we, you know, kind of me and Hillary were discussing this experience of God, what that is, and I do think it's something to do with experiencing divinity as a profound connector that exists outside of linear time. It exists in our cells, the respiration. I had an awakening reading a book called The Language of the Heart, and in the book by James Lynch, he talks about putting people on this equipment that they could kind of he could read their bodies, and it was very different than what they would speak. And of course, this was very true with couples. But when couples learned how to, you know, speak at the level of the heart, it changed everything. And so I guess you could say, you know, Lisa, when people come, like we have two clients now, like Rita and Marissa, it's been so wondrous working with them. I feel like we're discovering a whole new language and a way of, I don't know, a way of seeing people who have neurological injuries in a whole different light. And also, you know, as you know, with Rita, she just, I feel like from the, you know, here's the thing. I blinked and I knew me and Rita were going to become like you, Lisa and Hillary. I knew I was going to have a long-term relationship with Rita, and it was going to be loving and wonderful. Yeah, I mean, it's just a wonderful thing meeting people who are opening. You know, once Hillary said something to me about moving and dancing and kind of shaking, and you know, that's the way animals release trauma, and I think we release trauma as well. I think I want to encourage the body part. But a lot of times we don't have the words to express this, you know, a lot of times. So I learned how to cry about 8 years ago, and crying became this, I didn't know how to cry, but I tipped into it at one point, right? I kind of was like, oh, it's there. Oh, I'm experienced crying. And crying there was a book I read called Cured by Crying, and what he went around the country talking to people at luncheonettes about their experience of crying. It was a profound book. So I don't know, touching people, getting a sense of what moves them, and having people be greatly surprised. Like, it's not uncommon, a client, this client I had from British Columbia, he wanted to write a book called The Wisdom Tooth. He was a dentist. But the more they worked together, he says, Glenn, he goes, I don't want to write a book called The Wisdom Tooth. I want to stop being a dentist and walk on the beach in Mexico. And I want to be a health coach. And so that's a beautiful thing. It's kind of like, that's what I was talking about earlier about unscripting. Unscripted love. It's the ability to not project a script on someone. And that's, I keep visioning communities of people that learn vibrant speaking and learn how to become more alive and non-competitive together so they could go to another whole level together. And if you're interested in being part of the Vibrant Living Network and being a speaker and coming to our one-of-a-kind events and meeting Hillary and Lisa, please call today, 413-345-3747, 413-345-3747. How could they see that beautiful birthday present that you were so blessed to share with me? How could they see the relational phoenix, Lisa? Is there a way you could post it somewhere so people could see it?
Yeah, well, we can get it up on your webpage and on Instagram. Okay. And on your Facebook. Right. For sure.
I would love that. I would love that.
Maybe we can also send it to Chris, and he can.
We'll send it to Chris. Absolutely, I would love that.
Yeah, and pretty soon it will be up on Menla, so. We'll be able to do.
I'm loving our exploration today. I'm seeing myself in Hillary, by the way. I'm seeing that she was able to start to take this academic path. Ashley Montague, the anthropologist from Princeton, said something one time, Lisa and Hillary. He said that true love can heal broken bones. I heard that and it resonated with me to this day. And I thought, I want to learn that at school, right? I want to learn that at school. I don't want to sit around memorizing, regurgitating, and all the other stuff. I just handed the thing back to Hillary for another One Wisdom Moment with Lisa and Hillary.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you bringing up your vision of school and education, because having gone through so many years of education through graduate school, I found myself closing down more and more. And the year that I took living in Thailand and studying sustainable development experientially. Wow. It was an amazing program where we lived with people and we did what they did, farming and fishing and whatever they were doing, taking care of the family, and then studying how cities are developed as well, and sitting in caves and meditating at Buddhist retreat centers, that kind of thing too. Coming back to school, I had a lot to write about, and I could feel how my body and being was closing down again. Mm-hmm. And that was a very painful process. And it wasn't until I took 2 years off after that that I couldn't continue this awakening process from more of an embodied place, and finding people who could support me and see my gifts and help me to follow my own path intuitively. And yet I decided to go back to school because I knew that the gifts that I have and the opportunities and the privilege, I just want to acknowledge that as a white woman who grew up in an upper middle class family, have a ton of privilege. And I traveled around the world as a kid and got to see lots of things. Mm-hmm. And so if I could use that privilege well, given the experiences I've had of living with indigenous people and connecting to the earth in an intuitive, embodied way, and could bring that into spaces of privilege, then I think I could actually really make a big difference as well. So I use the traditional educational system for my own, not individual needs, but for this divine calling to come through and to take the opportunity and the privilege of, like, so I went to Harvard for grad school to take that privilege and then to be able to offer to more people. And so I'm in this transition right now of trying to figure out exactly how to do that and find these opportunities through relationships.
You know what I want you to do, and I want you to do this to Lisa. You're listening to the Vibrant Living Network. I want Hillary to give out her website, and I have this beautiful vision of us doing some wondrous work together, Hillary. Go on and give out your website. I love the name of your website, brother. What a beautiful name.
It's movingingrace.com.
Movingingrace.com. And Lisa, you want to give out your information, anything
yes.
you want to share with people?
Yeah, it's onewisdom.org. And actually, Glenn, when you were saying that, I thought, well, I can post it on my Instagram as well, which is, you can find me under onewisdomlove, all one word, on Instagram. Mm. So, see lots of pictures of dogs.
It's so funny. I didn't know your Instagram. I like it so much. Because when you're wise, you have love, right?
Yeah, that's the only thing. It's the only thing that matters,
yeah,
right?
It's a beautiful site. I visited it this morning.
Oh, wow.
Well, thank you. It's one of those things on my to-do list to add more content.
You know,
just in the middle. Yeah, but
yeah,
thank you
Lisa
very much.
I want Lisa to bring her beautiful work into the world. I would love that, Lisa.
Mm.
You know, I was just telling, I don't know if you've had this experience. I was just telling Hillary. And by the way, again, if you want to be part of the Vibrant Living Network, and I want to have Hillary one more time plug this beautiful restaurant. You'll see pictures of me and Hillary on Om Times Radio. What's the name of a restaurant we're eating in, Hillary? Because you say it so well.
It's Chuan Jiao Restaurant. And it has a little pepper on their card that's very cute, very happy pepper.
Now, do they have a website,
Lisa,
too?
They may.
What's that?
If they have a website.
They do have a website.
Yeah.
I'm going to get the website.
Okay.
We're
going to get it just now.
Yeah.
I think there. It is SichuanCharm.com.
Nice.
Like SichuanCharm.com.
Well, I think it's fitting, Hillary, that your introduction, since you felt so close in, an Asian country, you felt the warm atmosphere. And that's sort of a nice way to bring you into and announce you being a part of this journey with us. So, yeah, very, very fitting. I'm so touched by that story. You have no idea. Like, I wish I want to see pictures. I want to hear more about your adventure. It just sounds so beautiful.
Thank you.
Oh, well, I would love to share more. Absolutely. And I am really moved by your logo that Glenn shared with me, you created. It feels very enlivening and like a deep relational knowing within the actual logo itself.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lisa.
That's great. Yeah, you're welcome.
I told Lisa that this woman, Jenna, came to see me in the summer. She said before she came to see me, Lisa, and I want to get your responses. We only got like a 30 seconds. She says, God, I want you to know I internet stalked you. She goes, I know everything about your family. I know everything about Donna. And I talked to her, and I paused. You know, when I said to her, I said, that's great. I said, I have nothing to hide. You're nothing. So I don't know. So I guess you can have a positive use of the word stalk, okay? So, but the thing is, her honesty that she told me touched me. You like Precious, enjoy it. Lisa, say something to Hillary, and then we'll see you guys next week. And we're going to develop. We're developing quite an amazing, vibrant living summit in Vermont. I'm meeting with the people in Stowe today. Deeply, deeply appreciate you, Lisa. What would you want to leave with Hillary and the audience today?
Your lives are precious. Enjoy it.
I love that. Love you a lot, Lisa. Thank you all. Thank you, Hillary.
Thank you, Glenn.
Take care.
I guess that's.